May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. An exasperated husband asks his wife, "Why are you always worrying when it doesn't do any good?" She quickly answers back, "Oh yes it does. 90% of the things I worry about never happen." Mark Twain famously also said this. He said, "I am an old man and have known a great many troubles, but most of them have never happened." Why do we worry? Why do we worry if most of it never happens? Well, I'm going to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, I am a bit of a worrier. However, over the years, I've got better at trying not to worry. I've learnt that things are, as Mark Twain suggests, never quite as bad as they seem. God always takes care of it in the end. But there are times when I still forget. So I'm glad when the lectionary brings this reading around. As you probably know, it's sometimes used during harvest season to remind us that God provides for all our needs. And this is something we all need reminding of from time to time. Do you worry, I wonder? Do you ever suffer from anxiety? Well, if you do, you're not alone. And you can take comfort in the fact that even the old vicar suffers with worry and anxiety from time to time. And if there is something troubling you this very day, then maybe you can give that thing to God. You can place it at the foot of the cross and leave it there and let God be God. Let me tell you more about that. The readings today reflect a variety of things, but I think one thing that connects them all is the acknowledgement that God creates everything, and everything has its place. We are told not to worry, so we can indeed let God be God. Today's gospel reading focuses on not worrying about what might happen in the future. "Look at the lilies," says Jesus. "They don't spin or weave. They don't think about tomorrow. They are clothed and watered. God provides everything that they need." But the point of the story is not just about abandoning responsibility in the hope that someone will take care of you, or about eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we might die, as we're told in Ecclesiastes. It's about trusting God, because God looks after his creation on a daily basis. This is God's miracle. Now, I might surprise you now, but one of my heroes from my childhood was a martial artist called Bruce Lee. Some of you may have heard of him. He was actually, as well as being a martial artist, he was a philosopher as well. And he tragically died at the age of 32 in 1973. And he said this about life. He said, "It's like a finger pointing away to the moon. Don't concentrate on the finger or you'll miss all that heavenly glory." So worrying is a bit like looking at the finger and missing all the miracles in the world that God is doing. Now, the word miracle is an interesting word, and I believe that God is constantly performing miracles. And miracles can be large or small. Here's a small miracle for you. When we plant a seed, we have faith that it will produce a plant. We don't make it happen. We might help a little, but that's all. It's really up to God. And that, to me, is the miracle of creation. Nothing we can do, apart from trying our best to take care of the plant, will actually make it germinate and grow. We heard in Genesis about the beginning of creation, didn't we? God spoke and the world came into being. It was good, says Genesis. The earth began in a state of chaos. God introduces his kingdom in which the inhabitants experience fruitfulness by calling light out of darkness, air out of water, land out of water, vegetation out of the land, seasons into rhythm, and life out of the waters, life out of the earth. God then creates human beings with a dual purpose, to be in a relationship with him and to be the agents through which God's kingdom will be exercised. And these two themes, of course, run through the rest of the Bible. God created them this way, and it was good. God feeds the birds of the air, and we are more value than they, says Jesus. We're told to stop being anxious about tomorrow. Do not worry, says Jesus. We're not told to ignore the fact that tomorrow inevitably arrives with its own problems, whether we like it or not. We can't control that. But we pray with confidence that God will give us each day our daily bread. Not that we will be provided with all the loaves of bread we need to store up for an indefinite future, so that we don't need to exercise our normal responsibilities and our duties of this life, but just enough for us. Matthew's gospel says that the Gentiles, meaning those not of our faith, or if you like, foreigners, will be the ones who worry. Probably because they don't have the assurance that God is in charge and knows what we need. By contrast, our work is to strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All these things, what we eat, what we drink, what we wear, it may not be of the highest quality, so you might not be wearing the most expensive clothing, or you may not get much more than your daily bread and water, but it will be enough. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Building the kingdom is the work we have to do as Christian people. And putting into practice the two essential commandments. Those two essential commandments, remember, to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbours as ourselves. I often say to children in schools, if we could do those two things, those simple two commandments, the world would be heaven on earth. The kingdom of God will have come. And we will have a rich harvest indeed if we could do those things. Perhaps we could focus not on the practical help of feeding our less fortunate neighbours, but also on what we would like to harvest in ourselves and gather in. And then we could share that out too. And we can hopefully learn that being content with having enough is better than loving money or being dedicated to the pursuit of it, especially to the exclusion of caring for our neighbours. And we can hopefully learn and plan and have faith, but not worry about what things might or might not happen. I'm really pleased to come here today and see a number of things that we're doing in St Mary's to reach out to people. The DEC appeal for Turkey and Syria shows a people who care about others. The fair trade stall seeks to make sure that trade is fair and people are given a fair wage for the work that they do. And of course, this church also supports Jimmy's night shelter. I know there was the Jimmy's meal, wasn't there, a few weeks ago, where we all met in the parish rooms and had a lovely meal prepared by our young people. And of course, the money goes to help those who live in Cambridge who are homeless. I can't remember how much money was raised. It was quite a lot. Can anybody remember the figure? It was some, how many thousands? 4,000, that's what I thought it was. But I didn't want to say it just in case it was wrong, because it sounds a lot, doesn't it? £4,000 just from the people who come to our church and support our young people. That's brilliant, isn't it? So we are putting our faith into practice in this church. We are putting into reality the ripe fruits of our Christian faith. Love of God and love of neighbour. Peace with ourselves, generosity of spirit, and a trusting relationship with God. A God who may not shower us with designer clothes and champagne, some of us might have those things, but who will indeed care for us, care for our lives, and allow us to see all the glory of heaven. So do not worry, ladies and gentlemen, God has it in hand. If you find yourself full of worry and anxiety, then remember the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. God made them just as he made you. And if he loves them, just how much more does he love you? Well, to find out the answer to that question, just remember that he sent his son, Jesus Christ our Saviour, to die for you and for everyone here. Whether you're in the congregation or in the choir, Jesus died for you. That is love. So surely, as God's people, we do not need to worry if we are loved as much as that. Amen.